the ricochet effect, ricochet effect. Ricochet effect, ricochet effect. Welcome to the Ricochet Effect. I am super excited because we have a wonderful guest in studio today. We welcome Miss Tanya Walker. She was born and raised in Frankfort, Kentucky. Starting in 2010, she spent 3 years in Lexington before moving to North Carolina, where she and her daughter lived for nearly a decade. Professionally, she has 20 years of progressive accomplishments in corporate America, 10 in Kentucky and 10 in North Carolina in supply chain, operations, continuous improvement, and warehouse management. But after years in corporate America, she embraced God's calling on her life. And so in late 2022, she took a leap of faith and returned to Lexington, Kentucky to build Walker Reconstruction LLC. Or Reconstruction of the Mind, as you guys might know it as. This is an organization dedicated to transforming the lives of middle and high school youth by equipping them with life, social, personal, and emotional skills that they need to thrive. With a BA and an MBA in business, she has also earned certifications in life coaching, anger management, workplace DEI, targeted case management, and trauma-informed care to deepen her. Her passion is simple but powerful, to inspire change for people of all ages. She hopes young people especially will look to her and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Her mission, to help others learn how to help themselves to improve their quality of life. And with that being said, welcome to the Ricochet Effect.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you. Honored.
Well, so I talked a little bit about your background, but I'm pretty sure that with so much that you have going on there in that bio of yours, that you have even more to share. So can you talk to us a little bit about additional aspects of your background and what led you to your current role and the various projects that you are exploring and executing here in Central Kentucky?
Okay, absolutely. Thank you for having me today, both of you. I will say that my journey here has definitely been spirit-led. I'm very faith-based, and it took a while for me to get the confidence that I needed to do this work, but I am definitely here because God had a calling on my life. And I, like you said in the bio, I took that leap of faith out of corporate, and I said, it's time. That window of opportunity opened, and I said, it's time to be obedient. And so everything that I have done since then has truly just been a blessing. Ever since I got to Lexington and had boots on the ground, I have truly been blessed with the different partnerships that I've been able to work with. I started Walker Reconstruction in North Carolina, working with youth. But then once I got here, I also started a nonprofit called Circle of Life. And that is for teen moms and teen dads. And rolling that out still and building programs out for that. But all of the work between both organizations is purely for youth and young adults and adults in general, because the piece about Walker Reconstruction, you talk about projects, but one of the projects that I'm working on when it comes to Walker Reconstruction and the LLC portion of it is that I want to isolate that so that it's just for trainings, workshops, seminars, doing those advanced skills, soft skills, and emotional intelligence development for youth, young adults, businesses, organizations, different things like that. Because the climate that we're going into now, the climate that we are in now, it is beyond needed. So I decided that I really kind of wanted to separate the two, in a sense that I want to be able to make sure that I'm offering those different skill sets, not just to youth, but also to adults and organizations. So that's one of the projects that I'm working on right now, partnering with some businesses to be able to roll that out in 2025. And then when it comes to the youth, most of what I do right now is in-school mentoring, but the goal this year in 20, in 2025 is to make sure that I start more community-based mentoring with the same concept. So
nice.
Well, so Terry, so you said that as we were going through and we were trying to determine who was going to be our next guest, he said, you've got to meet Tanya Walker. She's doing all these incredible things in Fayette County Public Schools. She's on the ground. And Terry, so tell me, you know, like, why Tanya? Why is Tanya here on the Ricochet Effect from your own lips?
I mean, me personally, she always says we met like soon as she got back into Kentucky. I think she was at an event with One Lexington. We might have been, well, I think I was a guest speaker there. I think Doyle might have been with me as well. But ever since then, she's just been, I consider her a community partner of mine and a friend. But we work closely together in the schools, outside the schools. We've been in different capacities and spaces together, and she always shows up and is her best version of herself. Very smart, very articulate, has great ideas, a problem solver, and just somebody that I felt like would add to, I guess, if we was going to be inviting people to come on the show, she had to be a guest, you know?
That's right. It's undeniable.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Yes, from the first time I got into Lexington, Kentucky, after moving back from North Carolina, it was in late 2022, probably about April, May time frame. And I remember hearing, I always tell this story. I remember hearing Divine on the news, and he said, you know, people are always talking about what the youth are doing out here, you know, in the streets, and we don't always get a lot of, you know, people to help with us and with the youth, you know, try to change their trajectory. So, you know, come on down. We got a summer program down here, and we need some help. We need some mentors. We need some, you know, people to, you know, help with these kids. And I came down on that next Tuesday, and I've been rocking with him and everyone. I've built so many partnerships between that. I do work with Kentucky Center for Grieving Children and Families. Between those two relationships, since I hit the ground here, I've built a lot of different partnerships, and I'm grateful for it. And yes, Terry Dunford and Dorley were in the room on the first day that I stepped in there to help One Lexington. So we've been rocking ever since.
That's dope. Like, all of this was built out of volunteering, and now you've been able to establish your own, which that's what it's about, you know? Just tell me, what is the most exciting or rewarding part of the work that you've been involved in?
I would say the most rewarding are watching the click with the kids. You know, it's like I see them, and when we show up for them, they're like, you know, they really love us. You know, they mm-hmm. look like, wow, they're not just doing this because they really keep showing up. They know that we don't always get paid for this work, that it's not always that kind of reward monetary, but they know, they start to understand that we're doing this because we love them. We do this because we want them to be better. We hold them accountable because we want them to be better. We show up over and over because that's what we came for. That's what we're going to do. So I love seeing the shift in their head when they see us in those spaces that they don't quite expect us to be in. Like, of course, in the courtrooms, you know, different things like that. Mm-hmm. When they see us in those spaces where they would least expect us, when they really need us, and we still show up, that shift in their head, that click, like, wow, this is really a different type of person that I ever met in my life. And so seeing that shift is rewarding. Seeing those kids when they're in those mentoring sessions at Fayette County Public Schools, when we're doing the in-school mentoring, and I hear some of the kids say, you know, we talk a lot about emotions. I believe in emotional intelligence development. I think that's the key. So when I hear those kids say, and I'll ask a question, you know, have you ever been so upset that your mind shuts down, you know, or that you black out, and their hands go up, and they're like, yes. And when we ask those questions, they don't understand why I'm asking at first. But then when we start doing activities, you know, to taper their anger management, or understand that your emotions are rooted in everything that you do. And even though you may feel like you're lazy, some people may even call you that out here, but and you may not want to do homework, all of these different things, or you just may be so angry because something happened at the house, like whatever it is, them understanding that emotionally, it's okay to have emotions, but what you do next with it is what matters. And learning how to do something next, or just not do anything at all, that could either save your life or keep your freedom, it's a game changer. I love it.
Preach. Our first preach of the podcast.
That's the shift for me. That's what's rewarding.
And so the work, it's not easy, right? Doing this thing in community engagement and community-inspired work is not always easy. And so what kinds of challenges have you had since you've been back here in Central Kentucky, and how have you overcome some of those challenges?
I would say the most challenging for me, once I made this journey and I made it about being God-led, the only thing for me is sometimes my flesh gets in my way. You know, sometimes my mindset still gets in my way. Because I'll be honest, I don't have the same background as a lot of these kids. Most of them. I'll be real honest. I'm not one of those people that has most of the trauma and, you know, the trail of tears that some of these kids have. So for me, sometimes me just being in my own way and without shedding a tear, you know, feeling like I'm not enough sometimes, you know, feeling like who am I to be trying to teach these kids what they need to know to change their life? It's that mindset. Yeah. But then I have to talk to myself and remind myself first that this is purpose and it's passion and I love people. And so for me, I have to remind myself that I might not have been through what they've been through, but I've been where they want to go and I know how to get you there. So that's what I just have to tell myself sometimes. But it's mindset, I would say, that's the biggest thing for me, making sure I stay out of my own way.
Perfectly said.
Yes.
And so then what about you? What are some of the challenges that you've overcome in this work and community-inspired work that is?
I mean, we face challenges every day. So some of them we still trying to overcome. I come from a checkered background or a past, and some people just always want to remind you of that, right? So, like more specific, we've been in the schools mentoring for years. This year, well, this actual second semester of the mentoring, we're getting a lot of backlash. A lot of people are, they have something negative to say about what we're doing, even though there's nothing negative that we're doing. If there was a time frame that you would have to be on probation, we probably would have exceeded it. Got plenty of accolades and things that we do in the community, but it's still not enough. You know, being black with a felony, they're saying we can't walk through the doors of the school. But the president, if he pulled up right now, they would probably open up every door to the school for this brother. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you know, but how I overcome those is I just don't stop. Like, okay, y'all gonna close this door? I'm gonna build a whole building and have my own door that you have no control over. So that's kind of how my mindset works when it comes to those things.
Yeah, and you do have to, you have to be creative, because 100%. So much of just where people of color in America that have been developed here, so to speak, and it doesn't matter if you are born with a silver spoon in your mouth or not, I think that you're going to face some kinds of challenges that maybe some other communities might not face. And of course, it's all an individual experience. And it's, again, as you said, Tanya, it's how you deal with the experiences that you have in life. What are you going to do? Are you going to be successful? Are you going to fail? Are you going to fall on your face? What are you going to do? The choice is up to you.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, Ms. Walker, you had a mentoring session today?
Yes, we did.
Where did you guys go?
Today was Southern Middle School.
Would you like to share a topic or what you guys discussed? I know it was a reintroduction. It was your first one of the semester, right?
It was.
How was it? How'd it go?
Today was, it was a light day, but it was a great day. When I say light, I mean we talked about self-love and self-labels. And normally we may go deeper than, no, normally we go deeper than that. And, you know, we talk about that. We have the hard conversations. That's the goal. But today it was the first day, and we talked about self-love and self-labels. And what that looks like is, because it's a holiday, you know, I don't always celebrate these holidays, but in the schools they do. And so I don't want anyone to be left out. So the goal was I wanted them to celebrate themselves. You don't have to wait for somebody to celebrate you. You don't have to wait for somebody to get you a Valentine's card. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, I love you. You have to learn how to love yourself. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that? That's the thing. So we wrote down what is maybe a negative label that you have about yourself. What are the lies that you believe about yourself that people have said about you or that you don't want to hear? Write that down. And then now let's write what you would really like. What does that really look like in your life? So, for example, I'll be honest. I'll use mine. You know, a lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, but over my years, I've gotten the quote unquote, you know, like I'm slow. And so there, I started to believe it because I wasn't a straight A student. Those are my sisters. I wasn't a straight A student. I was a C student. But then I learned that I just don't test well. Maybe I don't test well, or I think differently because I process stuff differently. And especially in my adult age, I had to realize that I'm not slow. I'm very responsible with the words that come out of my mouth. So I will think twice before I open my mouth because I don't believe in regretting the words that came out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. So it's just learning how to redefine who you are based on your terms, not somebody else's terms. So I'd had them write down that negative label. Let's talk about it, unpack it. Why did it come about? And then talk about what is a positive label look like for you? You know, what should it be? And so when they wrote that down, we had them write down at least one thing that they're going to do to make sure that they don't believe the negative. Because in your mind, for everything that you believe in negative, you got to have a positive or you're never going to forget that. You're always going to hear the negative. And so just trying to teach them that you have to rewire your brain. It's that mindset. You really have to rewire your brain. So, but in order to do that, there's steps that you actually have to take. And so now, instead of every time you hear, somebody said in there, you know, my edges are nappy or whatever it was. No, this is my hair. This is my pretty hair. This is my natural hair. This is the hair that grew out of my head that God gave me. Mm-hmm. So you got to learn to tell yourself it's not ugly. It's who I am. You know, it's not my daughter used to talk about how tall she was and it's, you know, that was unattractive and all these things. It's not that you're too tall. You're tall and beautiful. It's like whatever. It's not that you're not smart. It's not that you're stupid. It's not that you're slow. Like whatever it is, you got to learn to combat that with a positive label and think about that every day. But everyone doesn't understand that you have to learn those. You have to take those steps, because if you keep always thinking the negative, you know, I don't want to be here today. That starts to become reality. So now you got to tell yourself, I deserve to be here every day. But just teaching them the steps to do so.
So what did you call that?
Self-labels.
Self-love and self-labels?
Self-love and self-labels, nice. Yes. And I actually learned self-labels from, I'll shout out an organization, Miss Maddie with Exhilarating Incorporated. She does a lot of...
Shout out to Miss Maddie.
Yes, 100%. Miss Maddie has been a great partner for me, a mentor for me, let me say, because I've learned a lot from her. And so doing the transitioning into adulthood program that she does for ages, I think it's 16 to 23 or something like that. She teaches a lot of the skills that you need to transition into adulthood that you don't learn in the schools. And so she also had me go to the sober living homes with their for women. And some of these women have children, some of them didn't. And so she had them do a self-label activity. And I thought, okay, that's perfect. So I coupled that with self-love. And then on the backside of today, we had them write it on hearts. This activity on hearts. And then just to wrap it up real quick, on the backside at the very end, we had them write down one word that describes themselves. And they wrote it down. And then I said, okay, I'm going to come around. We got 60 seconds left. I love myself because. And so we just went around because I'm pretty, because I'm smart, because I'm this, because I'm that. And that's how we ended. And it was a beautiful first day.
Beautiful.
So. I love myself because I'm connected to the universe.
Amen. Amen.
So you had talked about Miss Maddie and the partnership that you have with Exhilarating Inc. She's also a partner of Project Ricochet and Voyage Movement.
Ooh, nice.
And but talk to us a little bit more about the other partners that you have in the community and how that's been beneficial to the work that you're doing here in Central Kentucky.
So it's a game changer, I'll be honest, understatement to say. It would be an understatement to say anything less, but it's definitely a game changer because for me, I'm a very selfless person. I have a very servant heart. That's just who I am. So I do this work because I love people. I do this work because it's my passion, it's my purpose. I do this work to be obedient. So I don't have to be in a space and say, this is my organization here. A lot of the work I did the first 2 years when I moved to North Carolina was learning who everybody was and how they do things. And I learned from them. Because, yeah, I got 20 years of experience in corporate, but I just said, you know, that my background isn't from necessarily from the streets. Now, do I have experiences from my younger days? Yes, but but it's not like, you know, these kids that I'm working with. So for me, I really wanted to learn more about this area that I was jumping into so I could be of better service to these kids. And so learning about the different partnerships when it comes to Voyage and how they do, you know, reentry and so many other things, the mentoring when it comes to One Lexington and the mentoring that they're doing out here in school. When they started having me be able to run their summer program, and they made me their summer program director. Let me slow down. When they made me their summer program director, that was a game changer for me because I was already working with the kids in the school, and I had about 50 to 60 kids once a week, but then they're giving me, you know, 50, 60 kids, you know, 50 or so kids in the summer. And these are boys and girls, which I love working with both. So I'm getting boys and girls in the summer and having to do that work twice a week for 2 months.
It's intense.
It is. You're right. Sometimes we don't have everything we need. So, but just being able to have partners that gave me the space to really grow in the who I needed to be and get the confidence that I needed was a game changer for me. So now being able to show up and make sure that I'm there for them too, partnerships are mm-hmm. It's collaboration. I believe in collaboration. It's not about competition. It is purely about collaboration. And so I feel like the more we can do that here in Lexington, Kentucky, the more our kids can do that. But there's a lot of healing. I get, you know, that I'm very frank when I speak. I get that there's a lot of bloodshed. You know, I get that there's a lot of loss here. I get that. That's why we got to have the healing component. We got to make sure that we're getting even these parents and caregivers and the people that are on both sides of the gun, whatever the violence is, domestic violence, whatever it is, we got to make sure that we're getting everybody the help that they need clinically. And, you know, the lived experience, we got to make sure that we're pouring into these people, because if they don't heal, Lexington doesn't heal. And if they don't heal, they can't show up and give us the help that we need to make sure that we help the youth, to make sure that it doesn't happen to them too. So I believe in partnerships, to say the least.
Well, I've been to the camp a few times and helping, and I see the impact. So can you, or do you have a specific story or moment that illustrates the impact of your work?
I would say for me, the one I remember the most is last summer. Yeah, this is 2025. Last summer, we were moving from the first part of the day during the summer program where we do group therapy, and we were in the afternoon we go to some kind of theme park or activity. I say theme park, but some kind of a game center or something, so that they can unpack some of the things that they went through, because it's a heavy morning. And there was this young man, we had the Andrews brothers, they're one of the partners too, Andrews brothers, black male therapists, come out of North Carolina. They were there that morning. And I remember this young man, he was probably in middle school age, probably seventh grade. And I remember he had some troubles. And so we had to relocate, like I said, from one destination to the next. And I remember he was with me when we were riding. There were several that were with me. And I remember when we left, we were in a car, and he says, somebody said something to him in the car, and he was like, I need this program. You know, I think they might have said, I ain't coming back. You know, some feel like they just, if it ain't that fun that day, they don't want to do it, right? Or if it's too traumatizing, or if it's too heavy, then they don't want to talk about it. They get uncomfortable when you start talking about the things that trigger your emotions. Fair enough. But I remember the young man said, I'm coming back. He said, I need this. He said, I have anger issues, and I don't know how to control it, and I need this. This is helping. Mm. And I said, what did you say, young man? He was like, it's help. I got anger issues. Like, I know I do. And I was like, let me tell you something. You're winning. I need you to know, even though you have anger issues, you are winning right now because one, you recognize it. Two, you realize that you need help. And three, you're willing to keep coming back and do the work that you need to do. And I'm proud of you. And that just that touched my heart. I had to. Yes. That was a testimony. I had to tell the guys that were, you know, run the program, you know, that we run the program with. And I just that one hit my heart right there because he was sitting in the seat like, I can't do it without this. I recognize this is helping. And that was just. That one hit my heart right there, tugged on my heartstrings.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That and another young lady. I don't know if I have time to talk about this one lady, but real quick, because we don't talk about the voices of the young ladies enough. And so there was this young lady at Success Academy that was, it was our first day, and we came in, and you know, she's, because I got a partner in service that I work with, Miss Ebony Romero, and I remember. Thank you. And I remember the first time we get there, she says, the young lady sits in a seat and she's looking like, okay, we don't have mentoring here before. And she's looking like, what are you getting ready to do differently? Exactly. So I'll just say, fast forward this. By the time we got to the end, she asked, could she stay and speak to us about her situation? And then when we finished talking to her at the end, she says, she shed tears and she said, thank you, because I didn't think that there was any hope for my situation because everybody needs me and I don't know how to do anything different but help. I don't know how to do anything but be there. But even though I might not be able to change a situation with, say, my mom or something like that, at least I understand how I can feel differently about it, you know, and celebrate these people while I'm here, even though they may not show me the appreciation that I need. I've learned that I can shift how and why I do things so that I feel differently about it, so that then I feel better about it, so then it doesn't feel as heavy. So it's just the little things that, and so she said, I want y'all to keep coming back so I can understand how to get through what I'm going through because y'all just changed my life. I never thought about life the way that you all talked about it and the things that you told us, you know, about how to love from a distance or love, you know, up close but not too hard. You know, just been making sure that you advocate for yourself and how to do that. It's always the how. People say stuff all the time, but we got to show them how to do it. Mm-hmm. Game changer.
It is.
Tugged on my tears.
You're making impact. And sometimes that impact, it's not overnight. Most of the time it's not. You know, it didn't take an overnight trauma to get people to the place that they are today.
Exactly.
Right? Mm. Typically it's years after years after years after sentiments that get people to the place of being unconfident or moving towards literal chronic mental illness. And so it's beautiful to have a support system where you can talk to people who actually authentically care.
Amen.
So very, very vitally important. And, amen. You know, I want to go back to, though, the name of your LLC. So Reconstruction. So talk to us about how you came up with the name. What are the underpinnings of Reconstruction LLC? And then I also want you to talk a little bit more about your nonprofit organization and the work that you do very, very specifically.
Thank you. I'm glad you asked that because I don't think to say enough how I came up with that name. I think some people think that it's after me. I'm not that vain by any means. It is by any means. It is actually after my father. I lost both my parents by the time I was 27, 29, something like that, before I was 30. And my father was both of them. Thank God that I have both parents, but my father was a great man. He had a lot of ambition, and he never met a stranger. He was one of those kind of people, but he only had a fifth grade education, and because he wanted to protect his girl so much, because I got two sisters, there's only three of us, he didn't do as much as he would have liked to in life, and you know, he would challenge himself to try to go and get his GED by the time he was 49. But my father was also a very stubborn man. So at 49 and a half, he took his GED and then he missed it by like one and he never went back. That was my father. I have some of that, to be honest, but some of the stubbornness. But nonetheless, he was a great man. And so because he had all girls, I wanted his memory to live on. I wanted his legacy to exist. And I named this, I remember I was trying to find a name. I couldn't really figure out what it was going to look like. And I just knew that I wanted Walker in it. And then it came to me one day, probably months after I decided what I wanted to do, Walker reconstruction. And the reconstruction, I actually looked up, you know, what that word meant back in the day, and how it kind of set the, the trajectory of, that, I don't know if I should say that Renaissance period, but that period where we were rebuilding as a people. And so when I couple that with reconstruction of the mind and this whole mindset, understanding that, yes, people have mental health issues and things like that, that they actually need clinical help for. But from a standpoint of mindset and just being able to help shift people's mindset, I felt like I don't want to come out here to change people. I just want to transform people, because you are who you are. You just have to believe in who you are. You have to heal who you are, reconstruct some of the things that your mind, body, and soul have been through so that you can be the best version of who God meant for you to be. So that's where Walker reconstruction of the mind came from for me. So thank you for asking.
Yeah. What about Circle of Life? You want to touch on that at all?
Thank you. So Circle of Life, yes, is crazy, because when I started the LLC for in North Carolina for Walker Reconstruction, it was to do this work, but it wasn't a nonprofit. So once I moved here, I realized that I'm doing nonprofit work, and so I wanted something to reflect that. And the more that I did the work in the community, I realized that I really have a heart for teen moms and teen dads. I feel like that's where the work is, because those are the kids that, it's one thing to be a youth and an adolescent and you really don't have the skills that you need. But once you've reproduced and now you've got children that you have to care for and you got to teach, I had my daughter, I was pregnant at 20 and I had my daughter at 21, and I had to learn how to be a woman all by myself, in real time. And not only that, I had to teach my daughter to have the confidence that I didn't even have in my 20s. You understand what I'm saying? So for me, I was like, I want to help pour into these young teen moms and teen dads, because sometimes they get left out. No, a lot of times the teen dads get left out, and they're trying to figure it out just as much as these teen moms are. So I really wanted to create a space for teen moms and teen dads. And I thought about Circle of Life when I first started in 2017, doing some of the written work that I was doing to create the foundation for Walker Reconstruction, but I never went with it. So then I decided I want to do this nonprofit now that I've moved to Lexington and I'm functioning in a nonprofit role. And I remember I went back to my notes and Circle of Life, teen mom and teen dads. And I was like, stop it, Lord, you're showing out, I'm showing out. So right. I was like, it's time. That's what it's supposed to be. And it was Circle of Life because our teen moms are starting, our young girls are starting life earlier than they need to. And our young men, we're losing them earlier than we need to. So we've got to change the Circle of Life. Mm. We've got to be intentional about the Circle of Life, how we started and how it ends. You can't determine what day you die, but you can determine your quality of life while you're here. So that's the Circle of Life that we want to work on.
Preach.
That's a nonprofit name.
All right. So what advice would you give to individuals or organizations looking to make a meaningful impact in the community?
I would say same thing I said earlier, collaboration. Mm-hmm. Collaboration mm-hmm. and healing. And I would say that, I hear a lot about, we used to have, micro city here. Okay, we got to rebuild a new city, whatever that looks like for us. For us. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we got to build that. We can talk about what it used to look like, and we can pull some of the best pieces of that from it. But we got to get away from what it used to be and create what we want it to be now in this time. And because if we don't, who will? And that's not to say that. And that's just to know that we got to collaborate to do it. I get, again, there's a lot of healing and a lot of things that have happened in Lexington. I get it. And I'm not negating anybody's pain by any means. All I know is that if we want our kids to work better together, if we want this East End, West End, all of this to go to be safer together and apart, we got to work together better. So
right.
For me,
because our children are watching us.
Exactly. And so for me, I would say, what would I say? My biggest thing is collaboration. and just really working to support each other in the things that we do. The more we do that, the more we can make it safer here for us and for our kids. So for me, I can only look at it high level right now and say the advice that I would give is collaboration and training. Lived experience is good, but I think you should always add value to yourself. And so I've been fortunate to be in several trainings. You know, I've been in trainings that Terry, I believe, is held. So like just being able to be in spaces where you can learn more about what you've been through so that sometimes you need a different outlook, but just so that you can heal more and so that you can learn more, so that you can help more in our community, because we need it out here. So I would say collaboration and training. You know, I love hearing about like youth mental health first aid. I need that. That's on my list for ASAP. Mm-hmm. You know, that's for my list as soon as possible. Even, you know, hearing I loved doing trauma informed care with TIC and that organization. I love, you know, those are why I got some of the different. Went through some of the different trainings, those certifications. It's not just to say I have a certification. It's because I want to understand how can I serve this community and these young people and these adults to the best of my ability. So trauma-informed care, you know, I think I was just reading about QPR, which is a question, persuade, and forgive me, I don't remember the R, but it helps with suicide training. Those are the things that I want to be able to learn more about. And I think that people working with our youth in these underserved communities should learn more about, because I'll be honest, one of the things that I really want our girls in these schools and these young people to learn about is, you know, what does suicide prevention look like? Sometimes we're sick scared to have these conversations, but we just had a young man, you know, last year from Winburn that, you know, had a self-inflicted wound, you know what I'm saying? So, and I say this with as much sensitivity as possible, what can we do to help these young people when they're running around with their friends, learn what does it look like? What are the signs? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? What shouldn't I say? What should I say? You know, when it comes to dealing with someone that may be suicidal, I can't tell you how many rooms I sat in after that when we talked about gun violence, and those young people were like, you know, he was saying this, or I knew him, or, you know, I used to see this, or they told so-and-so, and then he told the teacher, but then the teacher didn't do this. There's levels to this. We got to teach our kids how to manage and navigate these spaces. So training.
So the reality is if we teach CPR, we should be teaching QPR, right?
Yes.
Wow. You have done a lot for the community. You are a lot. In a beautiful, magical way. Mm-hmm. And so then let's do something for you. How do you stay motivated and inspired in this work?
I thank you. Thank you for the kind words, for sure. I genuinely stay motivated because I just love the work. I love seeing people learn how to help themselves and change their own lives. So many times you'll see some people trying to help somebody do it for them. So many times you see our kids start to get older and, you know, especially, you know, like moms and these sons, and they just won't keep doing it for them. No, we're supposed to teach these kids how to do it themselves. It makes them feel confident. We don't want to rob them from their ability to self-govern. That's what we're supposed to teach them to do. That's what gives them the confidence that they need. So for me, I love personal development. I love teaching people how to be better, teaching people that emotional component, because it changes their life. They start to feel like they're in control. So for me, honestly, I have a servant heart. It's who I am on and off the clock. And it's my pastime. So for me, how I stay motivated is just keep doing the work.
That's right.
And so then outside of that, the only thing I would say is I do love live music. I love to go see me some Honey Child every now and then.
Amazing.
I do love me some. Shout out to Sleep Promotions. I love
I'm
me some.
I'm a little bit biased because those are my family members.
I love them.
So you love to inspire change.
Yes, okay, 100%.
So do you have any hip-hop that you want to drop for us today?
Let's go.
No, I'm good.
No, you're good. You're good for right now.
Yeah,
I
want to
give
right
everybody
now
a voice.
I think we have some bars.
You have some bars?
No, I don't. Okay. You don't want any of these bars.
I know, like you are starting on a good foot there.
So one of the things that we're doing with our Voices episodes is I'm a poet, and ooh, I want to give you a gift, because as I listen to everyone's journey, certain poems that I've written, they inspire me, or you inspire me to then reflect on how we're connected. Mm-hmm. And this is actually one of my favorites, because everything that you have talked about today, it really is reminiscent of my own path. I mean, we mm-hmm. both started a journey on public service in North Carolina, which is a wonderful, wonderful place for civic engagement.
Yes.
They are definitely on the move. I learned so much of what I have brought to Central Kentucky from the state of North Carolina and my friends there. And so I will always honor that presence in my life. And so this
agreed.
Poem here is called Seed. I won't read all of it, but I'll read just an excerpt. But I start by saying, I found a seed. I couldn't wait for it to grow. I planted the seed, watered it, worried over it, you see. It soon took root until it finally sprouted. And then it began to flower. The petals were shades of orange, violet, and blue. It was truly a sight to treasure. The foliage had sprang up, ivy green and luscious. I walked in one day to find the seed flower had been trampled. I was furious beyond belief. I couldn't believe that someone or something could be so vile, so cruel, so mean. Who or whatever didn't give the seed flower a chance to grow? The plant languished in misery. The world would never know its promise, for it was destroyed beyond repair. And so I just kind of feel like there's so much. Thank you. That the work that we do is to pick up the pieces for so many people. But I also want to remind us three in this room that we have to do that for ourselves as well. And so, you know, when we ask the question, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay inspired? What well do you go to? What well do we go to when it seems like you walk into the house after doing this community engaged and inspired work and you just want to fall to the floor because you've seen something or you've experienced something or because you're just tired? And so I just want, again, for us to be reminded that self-care is the best care.
Amen.
Amen.
Agreed.
Well, we've come to another amazing end to the Ricochet Effect podcast. And so I'm Dr. Beanie Elamin, and this is
the one and only Terry Dumford.
And this is
Tanya Walker.
And we thank you for being here with us today. And for all of you in our audience, thank you so much for listening in. Please be well and go well.
Peace.
Yeah. It's the Ricochet Effect. Ricochet Effect.